You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
At 844-879-8882. That's 844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752.
The Pentagon is identifying an Oklahoma soldier as the American killed during a special operations raid on an ISIS prison. Master Sergeant Joshua Wheeler was shot and killed yesterday while taking part in a mission to rescue hostages being held in northern Iraq. He is the first American to die in ground combat with a terrorist group. Nearly 70 hostages were rescued in the overnight raid. Sergeant Wheeler was assigned to the Army Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is highlighting his campaign against economic inequality. In a D.C. speech, Sanders says the U.S. is the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
But as we speak here, millions and millions of families are struggling to feed their kids. We have the highest rate, shamefully, of poverty of any major country on earth.
The Vermont senator says many people are working longer hours for lower wages, while almost all of the new wealth and income is going to the people on top. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Republicans on the Benghazi committee say an email from Hillary Clinton to her daughter Chelsea offers proof that the former Secretary of State misled the American people. Clinton apparently wrote the email on the night of the 2012 attacks on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. In it, Clinton tells her daughter the attacks were carried out by an al-Qaeda-like group. At yesterday's hearing, Ohio Republican Jim Jordan said the email was at odds with the official statement put out the same night by the State Department. In that statement, Clinton said violent protests were happening throughout the region because of an anti-Islam video. Facebook is tweaking its search feature. Larry Olson explains.
Searches will now return public posts by all people and pages, not just your friends and pages you like as before. The personalized results will be broken up to highlight posts from trusted news sources, followed by people in your network, lists of the most popular links or quotes about a topic, and then strangers. All the results, just like the ones you see in news feeds, are generated using an algorithm.
A new Gallup poll says a majority of Americans have a favorable opinion of the National Rifle Association. The Gallup poll says, despite a year of blistering criticism of the NRA from gun control advocates, 58% of Americans have an overall favorable impression of the organization. The poll shows that opinions of the NRA differ among conservatives and liberals. 77% of conservatives had a favorable view of the NRA compared to only 30% of liberals. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, it's a few minutes after 5, and we'll be back with the sports guys as soon as I tell you a little bit about the weather. And so far I'm here with John. No, I'm not here with John. John just contacted us and said he won't be able to be here. So I'm Pat Smits, and Bill Wolfson's here. We're hoping that Ken will join us, especially since we want to talk about the Mets, and he should be the one to be doing that, since he's the Mets fan of the group. But in any event, let's talk about weather. Tomorrow should be a nice day, maybe cloudier than it was today, but it should still be mostly sunny. And the forecast actually has changed a little bit, and because it's mostly sunny tomorrow with a high of about 58 degrees. Then there's a slight chance of showers tomorrow evening, but mainly after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy with low around 46 degrees. Then again on Sunday, chance of showers before 3 p.m. So that is now, chance of showers is now 50% on Sunday, but before 3 p.m. So it should clear up and be somewhat nicer if, in fact, the rain stops. And then as it again on partly cloudy on Sunday night, mostly sunny on Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday will be nice days, but also tomorrow should be fairly nice, except possibly later in the afternoon or early evening. So in any event, we're here. Bill Wolfson, what do you have to say? I've been away a couple weeks, had to watch sports at sports bars. And you know me, I usually watch all the games on, we have the NFL package, so we can just comfortably sit in easy chairs and eat, drink, and watch TV. It is interesting to watch in the sports bars. It's been a few years since we've had to do that.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and with me is my co-host, Pat Smith. Pat is probably just as happy about our Green Bay Packers as I am about my Temple Owls. They're 7-0, aren't they?
6-0.
6-0, and who do they face this weekend?
No, they have a bye this weekend.
This is their bye, so they get healthy this weekend.
Yep.
Well, next Saturday night, 8:30, ABC, the Temple Owls try their luck against Notre Dame.
Wow, really?
That's very exciting. Temple was ranked number 22 this week in college football. And I think Notre Dame is number 11, which to me is as high as Temple has ever been ranked in the history of the university football program, which began in 1919.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but don't they have a perfect record this year?
Yes, they're 7-0. They beat East Carolina State, a very good college football team, and they beat them by holding them scoreless in the entire second half. I think they won 28-14.
Well, are they playing in South Bend?
They are playing in South Bend, I believe.
Oh, well, Bill, aren't you going to that game?
No. Oh, no, I take that back. They're playing in Lincoln Financial Field, and I don't know that you can get a ticket for that team. In fact, I understand even the Pope tried, and they wouldn't give him one. the Temple Owls are having an excellent season. My prediction is that we may even see our Owls in the Sugar Bowl or a Cotton Bowl.
Really?
Yeah. They were bowl eligible once they win 6 games, right, Pat? Isn't that usually what the NCAA says?
Yeah, but you don't usually think of the Temple Owls in a bowl game.
You don't think of the Temple Owls as even having a winning record. Remember, this is a team that since Temple Field was built in 1928, has not had a winning record. But for some reason, Matt Ruley, former Giants assistant coach, has managed to capture some lightning in a bottle. He's got some exciting players. When we beat Penn State for the first time in 71 years, I said, this isn't a fluke. This is the real deal, and it looks like Temple's managing to keep up with the competition and surpass.
Well, I didn't see that game, so how did that happen? You're right. I mean, what were the predictions as far going into the game?
Oh, as far as Notre Dame?
No, as far as Penn State.
They predicted Penn State would struggle and come out by a field goal. And Temple actually won the game by 7 points. I forget what the exact score was, but Temple has also beaten Tulane, not a strong Tulane squad, but certainly competent. They got very lucky against U of Mass and won by 2 points right after they had scored a touchdown. They were still a point behind. So they went for the two-point post-touchdown chance instead of a kick. They ran it in and managed to come up ahead against the University of Massachusetts. So I'm beginning to think that Russell Conwell, founder of Temple University, has risen from his grave, and his spirit is carrying us owls across acres of diamonds, as he liked to say in his sermons, to a bowl game. It'll be interesting to see which bowl game it is, though.
Well, who are their standout players, and what has changed? I mean, well, there obviously been a big shift.
It's tough to say. They've had good quarterbacking, excellent run backing, and their defense has been their strength. Their defense will hold teams scoreless for 3 out of 4 quarters, and then they've been very, very, very stingy. And it's interesting. This seems to be the year of good defenses, because I noticed the New York Jets have managed to turn it around with Todd Bowles as coach. The Jets have managed to play really good defense over the last couple of weeks. The only bad game they had was to the Eagles, and Bowles fixed a lot of the problems. The Jets now have a running game. Darrell Revis has seemed to solidify things for them in the defensive backfield. Chris Ivory is going to be a really good threat. And this weekend against the Patriots, I forget what time the game is. I think it's a 1 o'clock game Sunday. It's going to be well worth watching, because the Jets seem to have the talent, and they also seem to have the right attitude, whereas before they were flamboyant, now they're real quiet.
And yeah, but New England is looking, I mean, I hate to say it, but New England's looking good. I mean, they really, you know, I watched a part of that, you know, the last few games, and not somebody that I even want my Packers to go up against.
Well, let me tell you that I think the Super Bowl is going to be Packers-New England. Right now, unless there's some injury to somebody who is a critical player on either team, I think that's where we're all going to be watching on February 2.
Although I have to say, and I know the important thing is the win, but that was not a comfortable game that they played against San Diego.
Oh,
I
no.
I mean, that's San Diego. I have to, you know, as much of a Packer fan as I am, I have to say that San Diego played the better game. No question.
I thought so, too. I thought the Packers were lucky to win.
Oh, I think they were. I mean, what, over 500 yards passing? You know, Rivers really looked good.
Phil Rivers is a heck of a quarterback.
He is. You know, I never really had watched him much because, you know, we don't usually play that, you know, that Western Division. But I have to tell you, I was very impressed. And, of course, I was sitting at a sports bar in Southern California watching this game. So luckily one of the guys who worked in the bar was a big-time Packer fan. So there were a few of us there. But, in fact, I think it was the only time that – maybe I have to take that back – but one of the very few times that I've ever watched a game in a sports bar that the largest television – wasn't showing the Packer game.
Well, that's because you probably just don't get around that much.
No. Usually in every sports bar, usually there are more people watching the Packers than anyone else, and so they've commandeered the largest screen. The week before, we were down in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and you know, we were in a much bigger sports bar, and of course the biggest television was Packers. And, you know, then, of course, there's always a lot of Steeler fans around. And I was not pleased with the way I didn't think the Packers looked that good on Sunday.
Well, I saw the Packers playing 2 weeks ago against, and I have to think who it was. I was in Delaware. The Packers were playing. Who was their opponent 2 weeks ago, Pat? I'm drawing a blank here.
All of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, but
I was down in
I was in Delaware. We were watching the...
San Francisco.
Frisco. And San Francisco looked really depleted. Are they banged up? I mean, Kaepernick didn't look like his old self.
He has not looked good all year.
Maybe he's got nobody to throw to, or I know that he was getting sacked a lot, or hurried up, or he was getting slammed after he'd gotten rid of the ball or handed it off. And San Francisco, to me, is the biggest disappointment this season.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think, aren't they playing Seattle this week?
No, they played them last night, and I think
they
lost.
Oh, they played them last night?
They played them last night and lost, and the score was like 20-7 when I turned it off. They did not look good again.
But Seattle last week, I mean, one of the things that in a sports bar, you can watch the other television sets fairly easily. And, I'm not a big Seattle fan, but boy, their fans were devastated when they lost that in the last, minute and a half?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they couldn't believe that they were going to lose, especially since they led throughout the entire game.
That's right. They were stunned. In fact, if you watched the end of that game, there was a brief shot of people leaving the stands, and it was like Napoleon's retreat from Moscow in 1812. It was, everybody was like hunkered down, and the only thing missing was the snow and the Russians.
The loudmouth people in the bar, and they were all pretty nice, but I mean, the exuberance was suddenly quiet. I mean, it was like. You looked at these people and you wouldn't have believed they were fans at the same team.
Well, I spent a Sunday at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, two weekends ago with my brother-in-law and my wife and her sister. And although the water was too rough to go in because they were still dealing with a storm and a lot of beach erosion, we were hanging out on the beach. We decided to go to a sports bar that's right on the beach, actually. The Green Turtle, nice sports bar. They have a second floor, so you can sit up out on a balcony. It's amazing how many Ravens fans hang around in southern Delaware. I think the Ravens were playing the Steelers, and my brother-in-law is a huge Steelers fan, so we watched that game. But I was swiveling back all the time to keep my eye on the Green Bay Packer game, but on the big screen was the Eagle game, and the Eagles were winning pretty handily against the Washington Redskins, who were not looking good at all. In fact, the Eagles seem to have solved some problems. They've gotten a better offensive line game. They've managed to find themselves a place kicker. And suddenly Sam Bradford, is finding at least Riley Cooper and a couple of other...
Well, we know John Manfreda is not here today because he does not want to have anyone, since we have winning teams last week, he is just too ashamed to show up and try to defend his Giants.
Well, he can't. John has a Giant team that is 3-3, tied for first place, but
amazing.
This is the NFC least.
The Eagles
you could
and the
win
Giants,
with a 7-9 record.
When I heard that the other day, and I'm thinking, the Giants and the Eagles are tied for first, and they each have a 3-3 record. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It is, considering that remember the Giants did win this division and did go to a Super Bowl out of that division on a wild card. They were 9-3.
Don't
9-7.
Rub it in.
Oh, what can I say? Yep. It was a real surprise for me.
Yeah, well, it was a real surprise for me when I saw Brett Favre throw that interception at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a couple spots from our friends who are supporting us, and also want to give a shout out to the Longhorn.
Great place for steaks.
And we have some coupons, although John has not come in today, so he has the coupons, and we're going to give them out to some of our listeners, and we always enjoy the Longhorn, and so hi to the guys there, and I'm not sure we'll see you today, but we'll be back after a couple spots.
Let's go make some money, people. Pat.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good evening, this is Dr. Black and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Kowicki & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Ken, are you on?
I am on.
Hi. Hey, Ken. Congratulations on your Mets, and welcome to the Sports Guys. Ken is a huge Mets fan. He's coming to us remote because he couldn't get in to beat the traffic. But, Ken, let's talk about your Mets, and let's congratulate you first. Who do you want the Mets to play? Do you want to see them play Kansas City or Toronto?
You know, I don't think it matters, Bill. I think the Mets have a positive matchup. First of all, thanks for the congratulations. Congratulations go out there to all of us long-suffering Mets fans. I think the Mets have a positive matchup no matter who they play in terms of their pitching. Nobody can go three or four deep with the starting pitching that the Mets can. And I think this five-day break in between the end of the National League Championship Series and the beginning of the World Series allows all their young pitchers to catch their breath. They all went a little pitched two more innings, a few more pitches than they normally do in the series against the Dodgers and the Cubs. So I think they all might need an extra day or two. I think they're going to be fresh for the World Series, and I think they're going to be able to beat either team that they play. I mean, they both present a lot of difficulties. Toronto's got a power-packed lineup. Kansas City has a little more experience. They were there last year. They have a tremendous bullpen. They have a lot of hitters that don't necessarily hit home runs, but they hit a lot of singles and doubles, and they run. So both teams represent challenges, but I think the Mets will be favored. I think they should be favored against either one of them.
I think so, too.
Ken, let me ask you, what do you think about the fact that don't they have to play away irrespective of which team gets in?
Yeah, you know, I guess it never really mattered to me who won the All-Star game until now. because the American League won the All-Star game this year, so in so doing, they get to have the home field advantage. And it, you know, I look at it this way, Pat. You're right. No matter who they start against, no matter which team they play, they start in either Toronto or Kansas City. But both Toronto and Kansas City had a better record than the Mets did during the season, during the regular season. So I guess it's fair that they get the home field advantage. You know, it used to be it would just alternate years. It didn't matter what your record was. It didn't matter who won the All-Star game. One year the National League was the host of the first game. The next year was the American League. And then I guess about 8 or 10 years ago, Bud Selig decreed the All-Star game winner would have the home field advantage.
I don't think a lot of people even realize that.
And it didn't really hit home to me till now, because the Mets haven't made the World Series. But irrespective of that, I, like I said, I think both teams present challenges to the Mets. I think they can overcome the challenges against both of those teams.
Well, you know, the Mets have had a lot of adversity to overcome.
The Mets had the most dominant 7-game series in the history of Major League Baseball. Did you realize that? They never trailed in any of the 36 innings against the Cubs. That's never happened before.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know. Don't rub it in. You know me. I was a Cubs fan and was hoping that the Cubs could finally do it, because wasn't it 1908 or something like that that they last played?
No, that's when they last won a World Series.
Won a World Series.
See, the Cubs made a huge mistake. They failed to honor a ticket that was purchased for a goat. And since that time, they've had the curse of the Billy Goat. And I'm not a Cubs fan. And I think Phil Wrigley was worried the goat would try to eat some of the ivy on the outfield walls if he was allowed in to watch the game. You know, the Cubs have fallen again, folks. It's wait till next year. The beautiful confines of Wrigley Field are once again safe from billy goats. But, you know, getting back to the serious stuff, I have to give the Mets credit. They have overcome adversity throughout the season. First of all, Lucas Duda struggled all year. He finally began to find himself during the end of the season. David Wright, the captain, overcome from the spinal stenosis that shut him down most of the season. He finally figured out a new way to get ready for games and to warm up right. You have Wilmer Flores, who went from shortstop to second and back to short. Then he was a starter. Then he wasn't. Then he started crying when he heard he'd almost been traded to the Brewers for Carlos Gomez. And the reason they didn't get Gomez is Gomez failed a physical. We have Flores now, the starting shortstop, now that Ruben Tejeda is out with that broken leg. You also have Flores hitting .292 this in the postseason. So there's a tremendous amount of adversity the Mets have overcome. Plus, you also have the problem of they've got the deepest pitching staff so far that I've seen this year. And I think this is a team that's just going to get better. Ken, your take?
Yeah, I agree. And don't forget, too, the Mets overcame adversity in terms of some injuries. Wheeler,
right.
Who was projected to be their third or fourth starter before the season began. Remember, Syndergaard started the year in the minors. Mats spent most of the year in the minors. Wheeler was supposed to be their third or fourth starter, and he had Tommy John surgery back in March, so he missed the whole year. A couple members of their bullpen got injured. One member of their bullpen ended up being suspended for the year for performance-enhancing drugs. They really overcame a lot of injuries that happened early on. We kind of forgot about them. So, yeah, I agree with you. When Wheeler comes back next year and a couple of their other guys in the bullpen come back, not necessarily the guy with the performance-enhancing drugs, they could be that much better next year. But at this point, I'm trying not to look ahead to next year. I'm looking ahead to Tuesday night against either the Blue Jays or the Royals.
Well, there's a lot of excitement going on. Have you noticed also in another sport, the Montreal Canadiens are 7-0 and just as hot as can be?
I have noticed that. They got off to a great, they're a good team. They have a great goalie in Carey Price. And, sometimes teams, it's funny how some teams are prepared for the season and some aren't. Montreal is 7-0, the best start in their storied history.
And on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I thought we were going to be a good team this year. And lo and behold, they're 0-8, and they've already fired their coach.
Oh, that's right. They brought in John Tortorella, who I'm not fond of.
Poor Brandon Dubinsky. He played for the Rangers for all those years, and he played for Tortorella. He goes to Columbus. He escapes Tortorella, and lo and behold, 2 years later, Tortorella's back. So he'll make them a better team, but they might not necessarily be happier people for it.
Tortorella's a difficult guy to play for. He's a demanding coach. Hopefully he's toned it down enough, because that's what I think got him fired in New York.
Absolutely. He would pick on his players. I mean, if you made a mistake, I know he's a real somebody who's forces his players to pay attention to detail, but if you made one mistake, you're on the bench. And sometimes, especially when you have young players, you can't be that way. You have to give them a little bit of rope.
That's absolutely true. I noticed
when they were on the Rangers, and then he went to Vancouver, where he lasted a year. He couldn't handle.
No.
Coaching the Sedin twins? Come on. These are two jewels, and he tried to turn them into defensive players. He benched the Sedins for missing their defensive responsibilities at times. You can't do that and be a successful coach.
No, you can't. The Sedin brothers have always been thought of as extremely talented guys who never really built a good defensive game between the two of them. But where they came, you know, they came up in the Swedish leagues as kids, and defensive forwards are not where their strengths lie. These guys are snipers. They handle the puck beautifully. How they handle adversity, of course, is another issue.
Well, one of the things that a coach has to realize is somebody like Lombardi was able to get away with some of that stuff. But I think even he knew. I remember that apparently Bart Starr, you know, said to him that unless you let me do my job, I have to be the leader of this team, and you've got to back off a little bit. And apparently he did. And Lombardi seemed to know just how far he could push these guys and how far he couldn't. And that's a real talent.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. And if you read any of the clippings or see any of the movies or whatnot about Vince Lombardi, you know, I use Jerry Kramer's Instant Replay, his book, as an example. Yes, he was very extreme example of a coach is paying attention to detail. But at the same time, every one of his players loved Vince Lombardi, absolutely loved him. They walked in fire for him.
Well, they did.
The same cannot be said for John Tortorella.
No.
No, certainly not. They'd like to set him on fire, not walk through fire. And we have an unexplained John Manfreda sighting. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Pat, thank you very much. Beaten and weary, but still standing.
Okay. Fell down and rallied and struggled to his feet. John Manfreda, he's even wearing his shorts, so we get to see his legs.
And I have, despite the drubbing at the hands of the Dirty Pigeons Monday night, I have my Giants sweatshirt here, and I am awaiting the return match on January 3 when the Giants will win, capture the division, and knock the cow chip Eagles out of the playoffs.
Well, hopefully from your lips to nobody's ears, as we've heard from many, many people. You know, John, I watched the Flyers come back against the Bruins, a 5-4 win in overtime on Wednesday night. You know, the NBC network now has this rivalry night, you know, the night you love to hate.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. Claude Giroux made a number of defensive mistakes, both of which led to goals by Boston in the second period, early in the second period, too, within the first 10 minutes. And yet you would have expected that he would have found himself nailed to the bench for the rest of the game with another coach, but Hextall had him out there. Didn't have him miss a shift. He was there with Raffle and Jake. And he scored the winning goal in overtime in a 3-on-3. He also was there when Zach Rinaldo, who I'm glad Philadelphia got rid of, took the dumbest penalty I've ever seen. He decided he was going to board and then bury Shane Couturier right at the within the last 10 seconds of the period. He's Ronaldo's now got a game misconduct. The Flyers had a power play that extended over into the third period. And the Bruins just weren't the same in the third period. I saw a beautiful goal by Wayne Simmonds. It went top shelf, a real blast right from the top of a faceoff circle with him playing on the opposite wing from where he usually plays. That went over Tuukka Rask's shoulder. It was like a laser. Rask never even saw the puck. So to see that kind of a game against the Bruins by the Flyers was impressive to me. Because, first of all, they came back from being down 2-0 where they'd made some terrible mistakes. They had to pull their goalie and put Steve Mason in, and Mason's their number one goalie, whereas Mike Neworth was just not stopping the puck. He was really struggling, even though he was ahead 2-0 going into the second period. He gave up those, I'm sorry, he tied it. It was 2-2 in the second period. He gave up goals that made you think he was sort of struggling with the puck despite making some acrobatic plays. And then they had to take him out. He just was not playing well.
Yeah. yeah, I guess my feeling on those comments is that it's early. October hockey is, I don't want to say meaningless, but it's kind of like April baseball. You and I both know that the teams we're watching now will be vastly different come next March. Boston is in a rebuilding phase. They have 3 first-round draft picks and didn't, at least from a first-year point of view, make out well. But they're a patchwork team right now. So, and a classic, as you know, classic telltale sign of a patchwork team or rebuilding team is a team that blows big leads. So blowing a 2-0 lead to the Flyers comes really as no surprise. Boston defensively is very weak. They are trying to rebuild on the blue line. You're right about Rask. You know, he got beat by a couple of good shots. I happen to see some on the highlights. And, you know, Flyers are playing good. Devils have come back, won 3 straight, including, in case Ken missed it, a defeat of the Rangers at MSG on Sunday.
Ken did not miss it.
He probably Ken, didn't
all right,
miss it,
let's hear from Ken. Did you miss it? I don't think so.
No, I miss nothing when it comes to the New York Rangers. You know, I don't know if you've forgotten that they played for the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago, the Eastern Conference Championship last year, and I expect them to be there in some sort of fashion again this year. I think by the time April rolls around, the Flyers will be playing golf, and the Devils will probably be caddying for the Flyers.
And, of course, Ken, remember, John wants us all to forget what happened on Sunday to his Giants.
Well, all I know, Ken, is that about late in the third quarter, John decided that he was going to go to his collection of ancient videotapes and actually started watching Heidi.
I was hoping for Heidi to come on. Yeah, that was a bad matchup. Giants took a 7-0 lead, were driving, and by Chip Kelly's own admission, you know, had they not turned the Giants over, it would have been, could have been 14-0. It might have been a very different game. But, you know, I think the Eagles are doing it, you know, the right way from the foundation up. You know, they won despite 4 turnovers. I don't think that's going to happen most weeks. I think they're going to find that out in Carolina this week. But, you know, again, you're talking an NFC East division that is pretty lame right now. And
they both look terrible.
Yeah,
I mean
it was really not very good football. You know, it's still, I don't want to say early for football. It's getting late. Early, as someone once said.
Was that Yogi Berra?
No. But in any event.
I think it was Casey Stengel, actually.
Yeah.
It gets late early around here.
Certainly wasn't John Tortorella, Ken, and he's back in the NHL, by the way. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he's with the Columbus Blue Jackets. I bet he destroys all of Sergei Bobrovsky's confidence. We find Sergei playing for Phoenix next year.
Unfortunately, Torts has a way of
fantasy team, so I'm hoping Bobrovsky makes a comeback.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tortorella has that negative magic where he can destroy people's careers. You're right, Bill.
Oh, absolutely, and in fact, he has a real talent for making goalies worse rather than better. You could get the best goaltending coach in the world if he's working for John Tortorella. And the goalie has a bad game. He's on his way to the American Hockey League, if not Siberia. It's absolutely amazing what he did to Robert Luongo when he was coaching for the Vancouver Canucks. Luongo couldn't wait to get out of there. Now he's playing for the Islanders, and he's playing well. Meanwhile, I wanted to ask about the game that has the most interest for me this week. What do you guys think? Jets-Pates. Do you think the Jets are going to give the Pates a battle? I saw the Patriots absolutely dismantle the Dallas Cowboys.
And that last week, I mean, you know, they're really, I hate to say it, but my least favorite quarterback is once again, you know, doing it.
Well, you know, they're very smart, very shrewd in how they operate. Unlike most teams who substitute, the Patriots work on situations and they work in groups. You know, it could be, you know, third and four, and they'll take all the wide receivers off the field. And they'll put, Edelman there and Gronk lined up. And the defense, next thing you know, Gronk is on a backup linebacker in the nickel package, and he's got 8 yards for the first. I mean, it constantly amazes me. They're a little quicker than everybody else, and they take advantage of that. It amazes me how slow other teams' defenses are to react to what they do. And they've got you to a point, because they've been so successful and they strike quickly, that it's almost as if they catch defenses flat-footed. And you know, football, so much of football is about playing with confidence.
Yes.
And what they do well is they out-position you, they out-scheme you, they just have a smart way of playing. I mean, obviously they have talent. You know, you got some speed. You got the great quarterback with the golden arm. You got the best tight end in football. You know, you got some weapons. There's no question about it. But, you know, everybody thought the defense was going to be bad. Now they've made the defense look good, too. So you got to give credit where credit is due. And I understand, Pat, about your least favorite quarterback, smart guy with a big arm and follows instructions well.
Well, let me ask you all a question here. The Jets have a number two rushing defense. The Pates have a 22nd best ground game. Can the Jets control this? Plus, remember, the Jets have given up the fewest points of any team in the NFL.
This game is where? Is this at MetLife?
Foxborough.
It's in Foxborough.
Yeah, see, that is, I think, a big factor. And let's face it, it's always a big factor if they're playing at home. And
as a Packer fan, you know that.
Yes.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. I think the most intense 12th man on the field is the Green Bay Packer fans.
Oh, no question. But John, as I had said to John, to Bill before you came in, I mean, I watched the Packer game last week. The Packers were outplayed, no question.
Yeah, but they still found a way to win.
They found a way to win, but I'm telling you,
good teams do that.
Game. And there was no question that the better team out on that field, San Diego, no question. But you're right. They found a way to win.
Boy, how about that Philip Rivers? He's quarterbacking and his eighth child is about to be born. Isn't that amazing?
He's had more kids than he's thrown interceptions.
Yeah, probably so this year. But, you know, you have to feel bad about he's kind of like a who was the great player for the Cubs that never got to a World Series?
Was it Ernie Banks?
Ernie Banks. Yeah. You know, right. I mean, Philip Rivers, now, again, he'll always forever be connected with Eli Manning. The Giants certainly made the right decision. They got two Super Bowls out of it. But, you know, Philip Rivers is one of the very good quarterbacks of this generation. But, you know, he's either played on a San Diego team that's had poor defense or no running game or no wide receiver. It seems like when they have one they're missing another one. And I almost feel if you're San Diego general manager, why wouldn't you say, you know what, we got to rebuild. Let's trade Rivers to the Jets for maybe one of their big defensive line people. And a first and second rounder. I think both teams would do it. I think the Jets would do it in a heartbeat, and probably get a championship out of it. And San Diego could rebuild. To me, the Jets are a perfect team to trade with to upgrade the quarterback position. So
yeah, but San Diego fans would go nuts. What do you think, Ken?
I think that would be a great trade for both teams.
I agree.
You just don't see trades like that in the NFL for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're right, Ken.
And, you know, I think the trade deadline isn't about – it's next week, right?
You're not going to be seeing any trades in season because it destroys your season, especially if you're the team trading away the quarterback. Plus, right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is 4-1. He may beat New England. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel that the Jets are going to be in this game. So with their defense, I don't think this game is going to run away from them. And that's the difference. The one thing the Jets have that the Giants have traditionally had and no longer have is they don't have a defense that can make a stop in a key moment. And right. The Jets will not allow – what New England did to Dallas and has done for many other teams is they just pile it up. They just roll you. And I don't think that that's going to happen with the Jets. In fact, if New England doesn't be careful, the Jets are going to put tremendous pressure up the middle because Solder is out, the left guard, and they're a bit weak at center. The offensive line is not what it's been in the past. And I think you're going to see some blitzing, and I think you're going to see those big New York Jets defensive linemen in that backfield. And I'm not saying that Brady's going to get torched, but when it's third and long, they're going to be coming, and I think the Jets are going to be able to stay with them into the fourth quarter. Anytime you can get that, you know, you have a chance.
Right. So how does Bill Belichick combat this weakness in the offensive
line? Well, again, you find release the ball
illegal.
Quickly.
A lot of play action.
Something illegal to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple. Brady and Aaron have the two quickest releases in the NFL. It's going to be a 1.5-step drop quick. If their offensive line, Bill, by middle of the first quarter is not holding off, if they see they're losing that battle, you will see Brady rolling a little bit, and you'll see him dumping the ball off. Anything to hold up there, they'll try a few screen passes. They have that ability. They have that talent there, and he can get rid of the ball quickly. The difference would be if the Jets, for example, came out, took a 7-0 lead, maybe got a turnover here and there, make it 10-0, 14-7, 20-10. If they can get a 2-score lead in the second half, and to the point where Brady's got to throw a little deeper, I think that's when you'll see it. So I think the tone will be set in the first half. If the New England offensive line can run enough interference to give Brady time to throw, you know, then he'll throw deep. But remember, the big thing with New England is not throwing deep balls. You know, they did that with Randy Moss, and they lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. Okay, for the last 7 years, it's been all short passes. They want a 10-yard pass to be a 60-yard gain.
Right. Oh, that's absolutely right. I noticed also when they were playing Dallas, they were dumping the ball off to some of their running backs who were getting 15, 20 yards out of screen plays.
Yakety, yakety, yak.
Exactly. One after another. And, you know, it's like the kind of baseball team that hits singles when you got the bases loaded and just keeps hitting them. Eventually you end up with a run machine.
That's right. Well, you know, I do think that the Jets-Patriots game is going to be the game to watch this weekend. I can't think of any other game that's going to be more fun.
Well, I do think the Carolina Eagles game will be a good game. I think it'll be a good game to watch only because you got two fairly evenly matched teams, and one team is going to expose the other. Now, Carolina has a tremendous advantage at the quarterback position. If they can translate that into points and winning close games, which they do well, you might see them almost run away in the second half. On the other hand, the Eagles are playing very well defensively, much better than anybody thought. If they can stop the Carolina running game, force the quarterback to have to throw and get to him, I mean, you know, you're gonna have to see which of which talented group is going to win out here. But it's very possible this game could be close into the fourth quarter. I think it'll be an interesting game, Pat.
You don't think it'll be as sloppy as the Eagles-Giants game?
No, I think the Eagles will work on that this week. I think, you know, Bradford, he's such an enigma. Yeah, he certainly can't throw three interceptions. The Panthers will eat him alive. I think what you're going to find with Bradford is he's going to be much more conservative this week. I think the problem with Bradford is he's gun-shy. Like they say, he's seeing ghosts. He took so many shots in St. Louis. Like if you remember, the all-time greatest example was David Carr. He comes out first pick in the draft by the Houston Texans, great tools. But this guy was absorbing 70 to 80 sacks for the first 3 or 4 years. They had no offensive line to the point where once he got out of Houston, he was still looking at the ghosts of linebackers blitzing past. I mean, he just could never get over that. He, you know, and I think you see that in Bradford. He's in the pocket. The offensive line is playing fairly well. He's got space, but yet he's looking around him because he's expecting a linebacker to be blitzing, or he's expecting one of his offensive linemen to get beat, or he's expecting that kind of a problem. And I think that when you play scared like that, it induces bad play. And I really think that
John, do you think that could be because of his injury past?
I agree with you. He cannot afford to take very many shots, or by middle of the season he'll be done. I think you're exactly right, Ken.
Yeah, I think that should be a good game though.
But I think it'll be a good game.
Carolina, I believe they're still undefeated, and until they lose, you know, until proven otherwise, I think they'll beat the Eagles again. I believe they're playing that one in Carolina, right?
Yes. But I think that game, the Patriots-Jets game, will be a very good game. And, you know, I mean, in its own less meaningful way, Giants-Dallas will be an interesting from the point of view that if the Giants cannot get a few people back and decent health to the point where they can run the offense again, and if the defense is, you know, going to be on the field 42 minutes, I mean, it's going to be a disaster for them. But I think if Beckham is a bit healthier and they can run the ball a little bit better, they've had some issues on the offensive line the last 2 weeks, you know, they can hold their own. They should beat this Dallas team. But if they can't, that's going to spell disaster. If the Giants can't win this game, then I really think it unravels.
Hey, Ken, hold on a minute. We're just going to play a couple spots, and then we'll be back to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber.
Hey, we don't want to hear Pat Smith, so let's get back with the sports guys.
Hi.
Ken, are you still there?
Law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC.
Great.
The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource. Hi.
Stop that. So we have a couple more minutes, guys.
Okay. Well, you know, it's going to be a great weekend for football. It's going to be a great weekend for baseball because of the world's playoff game. It's going to be tomorrow night, is it, or is it tonight?
I think there's a game tonight. Six tonight. What are your thoughts on that, Ken? Where do you see that going?
I see Toronto winning tonight. I think the big bats will prevail. And then game seven, a coin flip. I mean, either team in the game seven, and I'm not, they both have their aces going tonight. Price for Toronto and Ventura for Kansas City. Not sure what the pitching matchup is for tomorrow, but, you know, as a Mets fan, I'm hoping it goes to game seven and the game goes 22 innings tomorrow night. all the pitchers are tired, and, you know, they're just exhausted for Tuesday. That's what I'm
but,
hoping
by
for.
The way, do you think the layoff for the Mets helps or hurts? I think it helps.
Oh, I do too. They're young pitchers. Some of them are throwing 115, 120 pitches, which is more than, you know, the Mets have been protecting them all year. And all year everyone's saying, oh, yeah, the Mets are protecting their pitches for October. Ha, ha, ha.
Big it's October.
Joke. Well, they did it. And now I think the five-day break gives them all, they can kind of get some rest. Reset themselves. The Mets can set up their rotation any way they want to against either Toronto or Kansas City. And they may choose to set the rotation differently depending on who they're pitching against, too. So I think it'll definitely help them. Plus, Cespedes got hurt playing golf the other day. Somehow he suffered a golf injury, non-contact sport, but he hurt his shoulder playing golf. He needs a few days off, too.
I'm sorry, who was that who hurt his shoulder?
Yoenis Cespedes.
That's
oh,
amazing.
Cespedes, that's right, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, Ken, let me ask you something. Do you know, is Kansas City Mountain Time or Central Time?
Oh, I think it's Central.
Central.
Oh, okay, then it doesn't make that much difference, because I think it's difficult for West Coast
you know, more
teams
than,
to
more
come
than one
east.
Time zone, yeah.
You know, it, to come east to play, so.
I think 1 hour is negligible.
1 hour is not
But you
problem.
Go more than one, I think you're right.
That's a good point, Pat, because the Mets, in their defeat of the Dodgers, made two West Coast trips. So, again, they could use a few days' break. I'm sure they're partying their face out, having been, you know, the newly crowned National League champions. So they'll need a couple days to recover from that as well.
So what are your last thoughts, everyone?
Well, all last, I know is thoughts. There's a very good hockey game coming up Saturday. Rangers are hosting Philadelphia.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to be a fun game. I hope that the Flyers can hang in there. I think the Rangers are probably the better team, although the Flyers are still high from their 5-4 overtime win against the Bruins. And I notice also how well Alain Vigneault is managing his defenseman's time.
Well, it should be a good test for both teams. I know hockey is kind of the number three sport that we talk about here, but I always you know, follow the Rangers. I'm looking forward to defeating the Flyers on Saturday night, and I'm looking forward to seeing who the Mets opponent is in the World Series. And I look forward to the Giants beating the Dallas Cowboys. So this is going to be a great weekend.
It'll be a great sports
I think it
weekend.
Is going to be a great sports weekend. Yeah, I can tend to agree with you. I think it will go seven games, and it is very hard to predict the outcome there. But I think the Royals are likely a more difficult opponent for the Mets.
I agree.
Okay, goodbye, guys.
Okay,
good night, everybody.
It's been that time. Everybody, get up off that couch. Enjoy your weekend.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.